Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Toonami Therapy. I'm Michael, I'm with Tommy, and we're going to talk about the episodes that aired on Toonami on April 1st and April 2nd, depending on time zone. If you were on the East Coast, everything aired April 2nd. Because it seems that Toonami decided to add a new show quite unexpectedly to the lineup. It's called Rick and Morty, and it's about a mad scientist guy and his grandson and the wacky adventures they go on. And they did it so unexpectedly, they decided to not air Dragon Ball Super and Samurai Jack as a result.
Yep. Yeah. Those shows were preempted.
Yeah, a lot of people got kind of annoyed about that. it's their April Fool joke. And honestly, I think the idea, because they just completely aired this episode, the premiere. This was season three, the season three premiere for that show, just out of nowhere, and then like repeated it several times. I thought it was actually a kind of cool idea to do it like that. Now, I haven't really watched the show, although I've heard good things about it, but and just kind of doing it like that and then letting people like say, oh, they're airing the new episode out of nowhere. You can go and watch it, and repeating it several times, make sure everyone could watch it. That's actually a kind of cool idea. Decent April Fool thing. Reminds me of when Beyonce like just abruptly released an album on iTunes with no lead up whatsoever. And then it just went viral. But the problem I had is, and I think everyone else had, is no one cares if you're doing this to replace a bunch of Family Guy reruns. But once you start replacing new shows that people were excited to watch, that just gets annoying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I first turned you to watch, I was thinking, oh, dang, are they going to do this for the entire Toonami block? But no, only the first two, because after that, it became, at least on the East Coast, April 2nd, so they finished with that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but enough about that, I suppose, unless you had anything else you wanted to say about that?
No, not really.
Okay, I guess I kind of covered it. So let's, but on the other hand, it does make this go a bit faster and easier, so there's that. So we begin with episode 111 of Dragon Ball Z Kai. And in this one, Videl is up against Spopovich, who apparently was completely crushed by Mr. Satan in the previous tournament, but this time is has some kind of weird power that allows him to just, you know, keep taking all these apparently terrible injuries and keep getting up, including when he actually got his head turned. What's that called? When the head actually turns all the way around, like people say snapping of the neck or whatever. Anyway, he does that and everyone just assumes he's dead, and then he just pulls his head back.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. It reminded me of a character in ReZero who is able to do that with his head, but it's just because he's completely nuts. So it was pretty funny to watch how he just put his head right back, screwed it back on right, and just got back to fighting.
Mm-hmm. Also, the other guy who is with Shin, whose name I can't remember, tells Piccolo that Shin is the Supreme Kai, which is a big deal, apparently. But, of course, by the time Super rolls around, it'll be, like, nothing, because then you have guys like Beerus around instead. They have to, like, keep topping themselves when they do that. That's the thing. There was one line that was really great. Maybe I didn't get this written down quite right, but I like when the announcer is saying, Spopovich may look like a piece of meat, but Videl's no vegetarian. There's a pause, he says, this is terrible. Where's my writer?
Yeah, I missed that one. I thought it was funny whenever the announcer declared that Videl had lost the fight, and then Sobothwitz just suddenly gets up, and he's like completely terrified.
Yeah. So, yeah, he was kind of being like Hidan from Naruto, who could just take whatever injury and still survive it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So, next we have episode 23 of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. But before we get to JoJo, they have announced what's going to be replacing it. I was kind of expecting maybe they would go to part 3, but I've heard that's not completely dubbed yet, so maybe that's why. And its replacement is going to be season 2 of Attack on Titan. And I'm sure that you're super happy about JoJo getting replaced by Attack on Titan, aren't you?
Well, I don't really know what to say. I was just starting to get into JoJo here, although I still think the jury's still out on JoJo. Like, I'm starting to like it more, but at the same time, I'm just thinking, why is everyone into this whenever it doesn't seem to be as good as I expected? But Attack on Titan, while I did not like the first season very much, I am curious to see if the second season can redeem it. The first season, I mean, you never know. So I'm keeping an open mind to it.
Okay. Yeah. It was originally going to premiere on April 29th, but then they just suddenly announced, no, it's April 22nd. We're going to air 2 episodes of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I'm not sure why they suddenly decided to move it up. I've heard some speculation that because the season came out in Japan very recently. We've only gotten the first episode out. This will, if you don't count Space Dandy, this is the fastest we've seen something air on American, an anime aired on American TV. Well, at least on Toonami, maybe on American TV period, dubbed after it premiered in Japan. We're talking just like 3 weeks afterwards, which is really fast.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I thought Attack on Titan premiered what, on like Friday? It was really recently, maybe Saturday. But I'm not sure why they moved it up a week, but I guess they got really excited about it and decided that they were just going to bump it up. And I guess there's not going to be a week of repeats for Easter as I was expecting. So that means we won't have to skip a week like we sometimes have to do, at least not yet, not until probably Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen some speculation. It might have been that when they put it up on Crunchyroll and other sites, the numbers might have been so big for it that they decided that they wanted to get onto it as quickly as possible. Yeah, I'm not sure how long this will be. I've heard some rumors that this one is going to be, that they're kind of splitting the season into 2 halves, so that this is going to be the first half, and then it will be of like 12 episodes, and then there will be a pause, and then the second half, sort of like what they did with Breaking Bad's final season. But yeah, I've actually been keeping up with this. I've read pretty much the entire manga from the part where the anime ended. So
okay, don't spoil it for me.
Okay, I will say that at least in the manga, I don't know if how the anime's adaptation will be in comparison. I thought it was pretty decent afterwards, but then there is this arc that a lot of people derisively call Attack on Politics that was pretty polarizing. Although I think based on the timing, we might not get to that until the sort of second half of the second season after the break, if there is a break. But I do remember enjoying the things before that and after that a decent amount. But we'll see. Who knows what can happen in the anime adaptation. Okay, that was a lot of talk about something that was not JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. So let's get back to JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, episode 23. So in this battle, JoJo and Wamuu complete their fight. It was, of course, another case of where it looks like JoJo is just doing some last ditch effort that doesn't work, but it actually had a hidden meaning behind it that allowed him to win, which was he threw like Caesar's bandana at it, which was in flames, but which apparently missed, but it caused Wamuu to breathe in the burning embers and such from it. And since that had his hormone in it, then it just made him explode from inside. And then, you know, Wamuu is just like this head that can talk. And I know that this is the silliest thing to mention and kind of complain about, but I should mention that even if you're able to keep on living with just your head, you shouldn't be able to talk because you don't have your lungs to produce the air necessary to make sounds. Okay, I guess if we're going to accept the guy is able to be alive like that, at least for a little while, we can accept that maybe he has invisible lungs. So we got to that. JoJo kind of gives him some blood as some sort of ease his pain as a sign of respect, because he was saying, you know, you're like a warrior, and I, or something like that. So anyway, we finish with that. The vampires, for whatever it's worth, do attack JoJo, but Wamuu gets really angry at them and like, kind of kills a bunch of them, you know, because he didn't think that was honorable or whatever. So then it's time for Lisa to fight Cars, and then, but then Cars, after saying it was going to be a one-on-one battle, reveals that he actually, actually had a double there who was one of the vampires, and then he just uses it to attack her and, you know, defeat her. And then it seems like Cars had won, but then Von Stroheim and Speedwagon.
Speedwagon.
I can't believe I was forgetting his name. Show up with this like special light thing to be able to defeat the vampires and such. And Von Stroheim again like gives this, "German science is the greatest in the world." I can't do the accent right, but it's just, I just love the way he says it.
And then Cars like hangs Lisa on this rope, and he's ready to kill her, but JoJo saves her. But now JoJo has to somehow fight Cars. And Carr says, "Okay, we'll fight one-on-one," which makes me think, well, why would you believe that he's going to fight one-on-one when he just said he was going to fight one-on-one and he lied about it? So,
I think JoJo doesn't really have much of a choice in the matter, because whether he's being untruthful or not, he still has to fight him.
Right. I just thought it was funny that he said, "Oh, I'm going to fight one-on-one. When he just did that, you know."
Smokey, who's there, in case you forgot about him, he was that kind of black kid that JoJo was with towards the beginning and hasn't really shown up since, and is just suddenly here, and mentions that Lisa is his mother, which might have worked better as a cliffhanger, if not for the fact they already had a perfectly good cliffhanger with JoJo, you know, having to juggle the having to fight Cars while still trying to prevent her from falling to her death. which is actually not completely literal, but close to a literal cliffhanger.
Yeah, I'm sorry. JoJo, his mother is Lisa, but that just makes me wonder. Like, Arena saved this random baby, and this random baby just so happened to be her own daughter. I don't understand it.
No. Arena saved the baby, and then she was pregnant with JoJo's father, and then she presumably like they knew each other when they were young and fell in love and got married and stuff.
I see. That makes sense now. Okay, I was so confused by that. I didn't understand what was going on there.
Okay. Yeah, one note I did want to mention is when Wamuu was trying to do his sort of ultimate technique, I really did appreciate the fact that he gave an explanation as to why he doesn't normally do it. Because there's just so many times on a lot of animes, especially Bleach, where someone just decides, I'm not going to use my ultimate technique until it is dramatically appropriate. I mean, I could just totally kill this guy right now, but I'll just hold back on it for no real reason.
That's Bleach for you.
Yeah, I mean, that's true of a lot of shonen battle series, but Bleach seemed especially bad about it. Okay, did you have any other comments about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure?
No, I did want to mention that a couple of the things I didn't really like, how Wamuu had to be given like this moment of redemption whenever, you know, he was a pretty evil person. So, I don't know. There's a few things about the episode that made me not like it as much as I did. I thought it was some good action and, you know, it was a fun plot, but just some kind of stupid things with Wamuu having to be redeemed and Cars lying and then kind of JoJo believing him the second time he says he's going to fight one-on-one. Those were things that just made me not like it as much as I could have. That's
well,
all.
Like I said, I don't know if JoJo necessarily believed him. It's just the fact, in his current position, he's going to have to fight Cars regardless of whether Cars is telling the truth.
Right. Yeah, you're right about that.
In regards to Wamuu, I kind of agree, but at the same time, he was definitely... Well, I can't really compare him to AC/DC because AC/DC got, like, so little development. But he did seem like the more honorable of the group, the one that wanted to like fight people in battle and in that way, more willing to let someone live in order to have a fight with them later on. Mm-hmm. Sort of kind of like Kenpachi, except, you know, a bad guy. I mean, Kenpachi was already kind of morally gray, but he was still on the side of the good guys.
Right.
Okay. I think that was it, although you mentioned in your review and I wanted to comment on it. You're kind of right in that Von Stroheim was like presented originally as this really bad guy, and I remember you were you thought that they were kind of going overboard with how bad they were making him, and then all of a sudden he's one of the good guys.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't make much sense to me. I don't really understand why he's being given a redemption thing whenever he is a Nazi, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, and to be fair, that doesn't mean he couldn't still be working with the good guys, because he obviously would still have no interest in the Pillar Men taking over the world. It's against his interest. But the series did seem to totally forget, even setting aside the Nazi bit, the fact he just straight up killed a bunch of people and was actually pretty mean about it also, saying, okay, I'll just kill one of you. Who are you going just choose who it will be. And one guy said, I'll do it. And he said, you're a brave volunteer. I'll kill everyone else.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, it just kind of feels like it's forgotten about that part. Again, I don't mind them working with him because their goals are aligned, but it does seem like that part of his personality was kind of forgotten about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that was JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and then it's Tokyo Ghoul Episode 2. So in this one, let's see. So Kaneki, I believe he was knocked out and then ended up being with the rest of the ghoul people. And then there am I getting the events mixed up? Because I think that happened twice.
Yeah.
Okay, I can't actually, I feel dumb, but I can't remember the exact sequence of some of these things. But basically, he meets up with some other ghouls and they talk and such, and it turns out that coffee is actually something that can be digested by ghouls, which I'm not sure if that's just a random factor, if there's a specific reason we haven't explained yet. At any rate, he sort of goes back to his regular life and, you know, meets up with his friend, and they happen, whose name I can't remember, but
Hide?
Okay, that was it. Yes.
That's his friend.
And they meet up with, and so Hide brings him to meet with the guy who turns out to actually be that ghoul that almost killed him in the previous episode. But, you know, Hide doesn't know he's a ghoul. Anyway, so there ends up being a fight in which, that other guy, Nishiki, I think? Yeah. Basically is convinced that Kaneki was just being his friend so that he could eat him. So then he fights them, and basically Ken is able to beat him, and in fact I think he kills him. I can't remember if it was him or that female ghoul who actually killed him, but at any rate, he's dead. And Ken almost is still, like, you know, overcome with the bloodlust and whatnot, and wants to eat his friend, but he stopped from doing so by that other female ghoul, just kind of reasoning that it would just, you know, could totally screw up his mind if he did. So she defeats him, but he's still alive, and so then they kind of save his friend, and I believe that's where the episode ends.
Yeah, well, he's going to go get help from the other ghouls at the very end of the episode.
Okay.
And, yeah. This episode was better than the last one because, for one reason, it wasn't so gross as the last episode. Although I was told on my blog through a comment that, it's not going to get much better, meaning it's going to get more gross as time goes on. So, expect a lot of human eating the rest of the way. But I did like that there was actually some direction to the plot where it's like, okay, Tanaki has to figure out how he's going to go about his life as a ghoul and how he's going to live as a half-breed, a half-human, half-ghoul, how he's going to balance things and how he's going to survive. So I like that direction that the series seemed to get, because in the first episode, it really felt like there wasn't any direction. It just felt like, okay, here's this guy who gets attacked and then suddenly he's got the powers of a ghoul. Now we seem to have some direction to it.
Mm-hmm. I also did want to comment, I can't remember if I mentioned this for the first episode, but at the end of the episode, there's this just completely, there's this weird thing about, like in the previous one, it was about the ghoul who got killed. In this one, it's also about that, this other, the one that he fought that got killed. So maybe it'll always focus on someone who died. And it's just this really goofy, silly thing that feels completely different from the actual episode. In this one, for example, he said something about how something like tastes terrible and, tastes like, what did he say? it was like horse droppings, or actually I think he used a word that's probably a bit more explicit than I want to use on this, but yeah. But you know what I mean. And then there's just this goofy joke about, well, how do you know that? Had you actually eaten that? And it just felt, it was actually pretty funny, but it just felt so completely weird to have it right after watching this much more dark episode.
Yeah, I, you know, there's, these things appear in a lot of anime, and usually Toonami, or before Toonami, just Adult Swim would cut them out and you'd never get to see them. For example, Hunter x Hunter has them, which you can see on Crunchyroll. Bleach always has them.
Yeah. They're like sort of like for example, the part, I can't remember how much, I remember at one part there was like where Gein would like talk about the Hollows and such.
Yeah, you're right. And I think Adult Swim actually originally did air the Bleach ones for a while, and then as time went on, they stopped airing them. But I thought that was really weird that they actually did air the Tokyo Ghoul one, whereas most of the time they cut those out, especially whenever they're hurting for time with this new Sand Whale and Me thing, which is taking up 5 minutes every night.
Yeah. Well, I think they might be having them more frequently now, because I remember when they were airing Bleach, maybe they changed it later on, but later in the series, I remember that I think they aired the full openings. And
yeah, they did.
And nowadays they much more frequently cut the openings down. And I suppose because there's just more commercials on American TV than Japanese TV, it seems. So they need to make room for those. So I guess by, you know, making the openings much shorter, that allows them to keep those other things that they might have previously removed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take that. Some of the openings are kind of fun, but you can just listen to them whenever. I'd rather have content than the full opening.
Yeah, well, I have to disagree to a point, because I really do enjoy openings of shows. I guess if they're gonna air commercials, I'd always rather see the opening than commercials. But I know that financial reasons they can't do that, so. I do find the openings to be important parts of the show, but unfortunately, because money has to be made, some things have to be cut.
I'm just saying I'd rather lose out on some of the opening, because it's the same thing each time, essentially. So if I want to just see it, I can just watch that once, whereas it's better than cutting out things that are different each time, I think.
I see what your point is. Yeah, I understand.
Mm-hmm. Also, I will say that it's actually kind of a good thing they cut down on Sword Art Online, second season's opening, because it like had some pretty blatant spoilers in there, or at least very strong hints at spoilers, whereas the English one kind of got cut out some of those, which I think was actually a good thing, because once I had to watch one of them with the subtitles, and I saw the whole thing, and I'm like, oh, well, dang, now I'm figuring a bunch of things out before you've told me about them.
Yeah, well, I never saw that, so unfortunately I don't know exactly what you're speaking of, but I believe you.
There basically were some things that, what was her name? The person in the final arc of the second season, who, you know, the girl that got a bunch of focus on her. I don't want to
say. Yuki?
Yeah, it had some stuff that, if not necessarily completely spoiled, but very strongly implied at some spoilers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, yeah.
Okay, so Hunter x Hunter episode 45, yes.
Yeah, so this episode, Kurapika is driving away with Uvagin, all chained up, and they're being followed by the Phantom Troop. So they notice that there's a strand of Nen that's been attached to their car, so they get rid of that. And then there happens to be a couple of extra Shadow Beasts, and those Shadow Beasts attack the Phantom Troop, and they're able to, one of them has this ability where he's able to shrink everything and put it into this little bag, so he's able to get the car and one of the members, Nobunaga, into that bag. So the Phantom Troop go and fight him and another member of the Shadow Beast. And, of course, the Phantom Troop wins so easily that they don't even show us the battle. And they then take the one Shadow Beast and torture him until he gives them over all the treasure, all the merchandise that was going to be sold, which he had ended up shrinking, and they release Nobunaga, and then the Phantom Troop go and disguise themselves and go and free Uvagin from being captured by Kurapika and the rest of them. Uvagin, earlier in the episode, did not seem very worried whenever Kurapika and the others threatened to kill him. So then the Phantom Troop are able to rescue him, and then Uvagin goes absolutely nuts and screams like crazy and wants to get that chain user, but that chain user just so happened to go off and meet Hisoka. And Kurapika and Hisoka have a talk where Hisoka doesn't really say much of anything. And he gives them a few very... I can't think of the word I'm trying to say. Vague hints about the Phantom Troop, about how there's 13 of them, and how one of them can become one by defeating a current member. But he really doesn't give Kurapika any really useful information. So eventually, what happens is that while Kurapika is talking to him, Uvagin is going nuts and trying to find him. So this sets up for a pretty interesting thing, how Uvagin is going to get into a fight with Kurapika. So there you have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say that... I did read the manga before, so I kind of remembered a bunch of this, but I had forgotten a lot. The Shadow Beasts go down kind of lamely again.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking before, okay, maybe those were just the weaker Shadow Beasts. Maybe there's a lot more of them, and those were just the grunts. Nope, they all get wiped out in this episode. yeah. And like you said, off screen.
Yeah.
Owl was the only one that seemed to really have much appreciation for how good the Phantom Troop was, and he still gets beaten anyway.
Yeah.
There was some kind of funny stuff where when one of them, I can't remember his name, just gets isn't able to get out of the car in time, so he's just stuck in a small little bag, and he's just going, "Can you let me out?" And then some of the Phantom Troopers are saying, "Well, he would use up a lot of space in the car. Maybe we could just leave him in there for now." He's like, "Hey, let me out of here!" Which was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, I like... I'm sorry. I apologize.
You can go.
Interrupt. Yeah, this was a pretty good episode, although it seemed more like set up for something bigger, so Maybe not as good as the last couple of episodes, but still pretty good.
Yeah, it was decent. Let me think if there was anything else I wanted to say about it. I think we went through everything. Yeah, I guess, but I still kind of wish we had at least, the Shadow Beast had at least looked a little better. Because, I mean, yeah. I know they're just... I get it. They're around to show how strong the Phantom Troop is. They're jobbers, as people say. If you don't know what that term means, a jobber, it comes from wrestling. And it's basically someone whose job is to lose to someone so that other person looks really strong. It's also a term often used on quite a few anime characters. So they were just jobbers, essentially. But the problem is, because they were only introduced here, we just heard, oh, they're really strong. Well, they get beaten. That doesn't really tell me anything. You need to first sort of show me they're really strong and then have them beaten. But I guess they were just kind of an afterthought. But that was still something I was a little disappointed on.
Yeah, I said the Shadow Beasts were a big disappointment, and they did not disappoint in being disappointing.
Yes. Well, I can't top that line. So let's move on to Mobile Suit Gundam Unicorn reads a bunch of numbers. I can't remember the full title. You know what I'm talking about. Episode 13. So after the big thing that happened at the end of the previous episode, we just kind of just end that battle plot kind of abruptly, and then they're just, brought into this other ship, and I can't remember some of the specifics about it, because I can never keep track of what all the different sides in this series are. I unfortunately, but the big thing was that we find out Benazir is the son of the illegitimate son of some guy who I think is important. And meanwhile, Benazir is still hiding stuff in the information about Laplace's box in the Gundam, and they're trying to sort of get him to open it. And such. And yeah, it's annoying because I understand the sequence of events. It's just I'm kind of confused about how they actually fit into the overall story, because there's too many. I can't remember what the different sides are. I remember the side with Full Frontal, but I don't think he's here. Anyway, the big thing is that Benazir and some other guys at the end are going off to do a mission to do stuff.
Well, you understood the episode better than me. That you still figured out stuff better than I did. Only thing I really understood in this episode was the whole thing with Audrey Byrne, or whatever her real name is, Mineva, and how she was having that talk with that other woman who was trying to force something on her, and that's pretty much as I understood of this episode.
Yeah, it was... These episodes tend to be more comprehensible when they're kept simple. It's just, I don't know, I get to... This is probably one of those shows where if I were to go back and rewatch it from the beginning, I'd understand a lot of things better. But I don't really feel like that, so unfortunately, no. But that some stuff happened, and I'm pretty sure it was important. Okay, moving on to an episode where not much of anything happened, which is Naruto Shippuden episode 152. No, I just want to mention something. I was watching this online on the Adult Swim website. Now, I was watching it a little intermittently because I was doing some other things at the time. So, I'd watch a little bit, then do something else, then come back and continue. Anyway, at one point, I look at the timeline, and it says it's 20 minutes in. Now, sometimes their player acts a little weird and actually will, like, list the incorrect time or make it look on the little thing that sort of what's it even called? The sort of thing that fills up as you go farther into the episode to show how far you are, that thing will sometimes end up like being at totally at the end, even though I'm not watching it that episode. It'll still play decently, but those things will be wrong. So I'm like, whoa, okay, this must be wrong because nothing has happened in this episode so far. And I press play. And no, that's where it was. There's one minute left in the episode.
Yeah, well, I was expecting Naruto to be a lot angrier than he was. This episode basically was flashbacks and then Naruto getting told that Jiraiya is dead, and that's pretty much it. And Naruto seemed a lot calmer than I expected him, even though he did get pretty angry. He actually didn't, like, go into one of those big bleats, "What?" which I was expecting to hear from him, which I was kind of disappointed that there wasn't one of those. But, yeah. Speaking of which, I found out that the big what is now a thing on TV Tropes, but Bleach inexplicably only has one entry on that list. So I'm disappointed about that. I just had to throw that in there.
Huh, that's interesting. Yeah. Big what? Yeah, that's there. How long has that been there? Let me take a quick look at the history. Oh wow, this one's had a lot of edits. It actually looks like this one has been around for a while, but maybe.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just mustn't have noticed it before.
I mean, I never noticed it was a thing until now. I remember seeing Big No, but not so much the Big What. But yes, that's definitely a trope. Anyway, so essentially we had a lot of flashbacks. I mean, I'll be fair and say a few things happened. We saw some stuff of Akatsuki doing their thing with Utagata, and we saw Sasuke's group, you know, taking Killer B, and we saw the guy who is Killer B's brother who was all angry about that. But that was just, like, really quick stuff. Mostly it was just flashbacks with Naruto talking to Itachi. And then the actually important part, which is Naruto finding out Jiraiya died, was just a bit of the episode. And then we got a bunch of flashbacks as a result.
Yeah, did you notice that one guy who had the eight tails, that he looked a lot like Hulk Hogan? Did you notice that?
I didn't really think of that. Let me. Yeah, I guess he does now that I think about it. Yeah, let me see. Oh, now I can't unsee it. Yeah, you're right. Darn it, now I can't unsee it. Okay, let's see. So that was Naruto. Last we come to Ghost in the Shell, episode 10. And if you thought nothing happened in Naruto...
isn't it episode 9?
I'm sorry, episode 9. Thank you for correcting me.
Yeah.
One of these days I'll actually do this without messing up one of the numbers. Yes. Basically, the whole episode was just sort of a chat room. But, you know, it's the future, so it's a much more, like, sort of realistic chat room in which there are actually, you know, people's avatars sitting at a table and talking and stuff. And they're all talking about the Laughing Man, and, yeah, that's kind of it.
Yeah, that... This episode reminded me so much of that show Dorarara. Remember that show?
Yes.
It had a whole lot of these type of things, these chat rooms in that show. And it didn't make much sense at all, which was very much like Durarara, which didn't make much sense either. So, yeah, this episode bored me to death.
Yes. I mean, there was a small amount of plot towards the end where they sort of discover a few things, and it was implied that one of the guys there was affiliated with the Laughing Man, but unfortunately, mostly it was repeating things from previous episodes and some characters giving speculations on them. It just was basically just that. And also, this, because I don't know Japanese, I know a little, but not enough to read all the things. Because while the people were talking, there were all these little text boxes appearing where that were apparently people commenting on it. And they're just all in Japanese, and I have no idea what they say.
Mm-hmm.
There was at least in what I watched it on the DVD, there was one part where they actually did post a sort of subtitle translation of what one of them said, because it was in direct response to something that was said, where someone was asking, how many times have you used the word source? And then someone, and then like one of the little comments said it was 38. So... So just that. I mean, I can understand them not wanting to clutter up everything with translations, but it still would have been nicer. It might have made it more a little more interesting to see that, to know what all that meant.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it is revealed that the major was, because she was participating in that and observing it, was doing all that while driving.
Yeah.
And then her partner is saying, wait, you were diving this entire time? It's a new texting and driving, I guess.
Yep.
But seriously, don't text and drive. You will probably not, unlike Doctor Strange, you will probably not be lucky enough to develop, after losing the use of your hands, end up managing to get some superpowers in your quest to cure yourself.
Okay, well, that's the whole week, right?
I believe that's everything, yes. Okay. I guess we'll move on to what we thought was the best. I know I'm being kind of a broken record on this, but I have to go with JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Yeah, I'm going with Hunter x Hunter again. That was the one I enjoyed more than anything else. JoJo almost got it, but some of the stupid things like Von Stroheim becoming a good guy and the whole we have to redeem Wamu thing, those things kind of made me a little not want to pick that one. So I'm going with Hunter x Hunter.
Yeah, I consider Hunter x Hunter, but it also just, it was mostly sort of set up. I know some of the stuff that's coming up is pretty good, so I'll probably start giving it to that. Of course, the fact JoJo's will be ending soon will probably help in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, well, I guess because giving random facts about presidents worked out so well last time, here's what I think is kind of a funny quote from John Adams, the second president. So here's what he said about the day of American independence, the Declaration of Independence and such. He said, I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as a great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as a day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shoes, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other from this time forward forevermore. Well, he got some of those things very right. The problem is that the date he's referring to is the 2nd of July.
Yeah.
he did not get the date quite right. I believe that was the date that it was submitted, but July 4th was after they had done some edits to the Declaration of Independence and sort of produced a more final copy. Besides, 4th of July just sounds more catchy than 2nd of July.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually knew that quote. Well, I mean, I couldn't tell you it, but I knew he had said that quote, and it was about July 2nd. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, I do think, though, it was, outside of getting the date wrong, it was kind of funny how he did manage to actually get some of those things quite correct.
Yeah, like fireworks, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of people who just completely called something correctly, I just want to read something from Roger Ebert's review of Battlefield Earth. I watched in mounting gloom, realizing I was witnessing something historic, a film that for decades to come will be the punchline of jokes about bad movies. Well, he got that one right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I guess...
that all for this week?
Yes, we went right from talking about the 4th of July to Battlefield Earth. Now, that's a transition.